Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's program, according to the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, there are 256,000 property damage claims closed and not paid, and there's 59,000 of them still open. And to remind you, this is from Hurricane Irma that hit us September 9th, 2017. It'll be coming up to 2 years. And the 2019 Atlantic hurricane season begins June 1st and runs up until November. Today, from the law offices of Linda Knorr, is founder Linda Knorr. Linda is a property damage claims lawyer who focuses her practice in the area of property damage claims and bad faith insurance. The hurricane season is beginning, and this information you need to know, even though you really don't know when you're going to need it. But first, I'd like to introduce and welcome today's panel, Eric Yankwit.
Good to see you here on the radio again, Phil. Well,
always a pleasure. That was a great event at the Parkland for Gateway Community
Outreach.
Oh,
for the fundraiser, yes.
Yeah.
It was great. Good cause.
Right.
Good people. It was
when
great.
We able to get people to go into their pockets, especially for the silent auction.
Raised a lot of money.
Yeah, the Goodyear blimp one I wanted to do, but someone outbid it for, I think it was $800.
Think so,
yeah.
And it'd be
absolutely
nice to be taken if you any
yep
offers.
And Gary Singer will be back next week. Also, good afternoon to our listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM. That's 740 WSBR, along with national listeners on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. Welcome, and keep those emails coming, and thanks for joining us today for the discussion. I'd like to remind our listeners on most Thursdays at 5:30 p.m., you can actually tune in live, Facebook Live. Just Google Facebook Legal News and Review, and you'll see we're recording today at the Kelly Ustall Building in their very own mock courtroom. You talk about resources. They recently built a $10 million building dedicated to the firm and justice, and it's because of these resources, as well as their successes, they're the reasons why attorneys refer them cases. Listen, if you've been severely injured by someone else's negligence, it's just as simple going to justiceforall.com, justiceforall.com. Linda Knorr, welcome to Legal News and Review.
Thank you, Phil. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, Linda, I understand that right now in the legislature, we have not had a resolution yet, but it's scary. There's a bad faith statute, 624.155, that you cued me into in our conversation. It's a major change, and can you explain what this could possibly mean?
If the change goes through and the Senate signs off on it and the Congress signs off on it, we will be set up for a longer delay pattern with the insurance companies. If they invoke appraisal and there is an attorney on behalf of the
right
insured, the insurance company will have an additional 60 days to make a decision, whereas right now they only have 60 days. This appraisal clause will change it. This statute will change it to 60 days plus an additional 60 days, giving
wow
them now 120 days.
I'm sorry, Linda. What's an appraisal?
An appraisal is an arbitrary, neutral third party who is brought in between two appraisers. A public adjuster is normally the appraiser on behalf of the homeowner, and the insurance company gets to assign their own appraiser. Those two parties meet usually at the property, and a neutral third party who's an umpire or an appraiser comes in and makes a determination of the damages.
I see. So this provision now would give that process an extra 60 days, and that would hurt the homeowner in dragging things out a little bit longer.
It would drag it out. It would also prevent the homeowner from being able to argue that the amount that the appraiser determined was good or bad for them. Obviously, if it was bad, the insured would not be able to go after the insurance company
wow
for any supplemental damages.
Justice delayed is justice denied. Also, I want to let the audience know Gary Singer did make today's recording. Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having faith in me, Phil. Of course I'm going to make it. I wouldn't miss Linda for the world. I do have a question, Linda. Why would our legislator do this if it's all negative?
Well, it's not.
Not to put you on the spot.
It's not all negative, but there is a recent case that came out, Landers versus State Farm.
Oh, yeah.
And that case said specifically that because there was not a statute in place that would prevent an attorney from filing, or anybody on behalf of the policyholder, a civil remedy notice, that even during appraisal process, someone could file a civil remedy notice giving the insurance company a potential of bad faith.
Gotcha. So this was just to give the insurance company a little more time to get that appraisal done before the attorney can get involved.
And to knock out bad faith damages also.
Just completely or only for that period?
Potentially, depending on what the exact language is, it could knock it out altogether if an appraisal was invoked at a specific time by the insurance company.
Gotcha. Well, I got to imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when that comes out, that whatever language they decide in will be extensively litigated, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will lead to more litigation.
Yeah, like it usually does.
And I'm sure it'll lead to insurance companies always asking for an appraisal.
Do you know who sponsored the bill? Like, was it an industry-sponsored something, or was it a...
I don't know who sponsored
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. Sometimes that
well, I can tell you
is very
one thing.
Telling.
Gary, as you know, they have lobbyists there. They spend a lot
do.
Of money
of course.
On that. And they even spend more money on attorneys to not pay claims. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, Phil, you know, I don't want to take the side of Darth Vader here, but, you know, there's
but
a reason.
You will anyway.
I will, because someone has to. And there's a reason. Obviously, there are times when insurance companies do act in bad faith where you do have to go after. And as a matter of fact, even if you think they do, you're smart as a consumer to hire an attorney to explore that
right.
or at least consult with an attorney. But that being said, there's certainly insureds that also act in bad faith, and insurance companies, just like insurers,
well, sure.
do need to be protected by process of law.
Well, no,
right?
No, that is
okay.
very true. But
so you hate people? Is that what you're saying?
256,000 claims closed, not paid. Over 59,000. It's going on 2 years. Mm-hmm. Have not even been looked at. You know, it's still in the process. It to me, it's disheartening. You know,
that's why you have people like Linda, right?
That's what I want to get to. It's amazing to me that somebody who has damage or is in that situation won't reach out immediately to an attorney such as Linda, because Linda works on a contingency fee basis. You know, there's no cost to you. So it's into their best interest to contact an attorney that specializes within this area because they'll protect you.
Well, this is definitely one of those areas.
Yeah.
Linda, tell me if you disagree, where you do need to have someone who really does have a lot of not working knowledge of this specific area.
You definitely need somebody who specializes only in first property, because it is such a specific area of law that the statute changes on a regular basis because the insurance industry is mm-hmm. involved, and you're, you know, between the policyholders and the insurance companies, it's a large volume of business. In the last 3 years, obviously, we've had 3 consecutive years of storms. So it's heavily litigated. So the different jurisdictions are sending orders different ways. And so you have to know the precedent in that jurisdiction to set up the claim properly for your client. And there's a lot to it. It's not just a simple breach of contract law.
So Linda, gotcha. bring me up to speed a little bit. What is bad faith, insurance bad faith?
Bad faith
good
is
question.
Bad faith is a statutory regulation that the state of Florida invoked in the 1990s. And what it says is that if the insurance company is acting in bad faith, then the policyholder can hold them accountable for damages in excess of what the amount of the claim is. So if the claim is a $10,000 claim, but the insurance company delayed, denied, or underpaid the claim knowing what the real amount is.
Isn't that typical, though? Isn't that, I mean, I'm just thinking that they always try to lowball the actual damage that would be in their best interest and at face value.
It's definitely typical, although getting bad faith damages is not typical. So you would have to set up the case to get the bad faith damages, and you would have to prove that the insurance company had everything in their possession to be able to fully pay the claim properly, and that this is a pattern and practice for them.
So as soon as I start smelling trouble, that's the time to call you.
Yes. As soon as there's a delay, a denial, or an underpayment of the claim, that's when you should call me.
So how long is a typical time frame? I'm just thinking, like, I have damage tomorrow, and then they're not going to come out tomorrow the next day to pay me. It's going to be a certain period
What's
of time.
What's an adequate time for
the insurance companies have 90 days pursuant to a Florida statute to make a determination.
So they have 90 days to give me money in my pocket.
To give you money or to deny the claim.
One way or the other.
One way or the other. On day 91, you file the lawsuit.
Okay, so on day 91, that's when you come to save me.
Correct. Okay. I come in earlier on cases sometimes if the homeowner has no idea what they're doing, or they're an out-of-state property owner, commercial property policyholder. I come in to assist during the pre-litigation period to set them up correctly, to make sure that the insurance company is being provided all the conditions in the policy. On the other hand, the insureds also have a duty to the insurance company.
Right.
So it's not just one-sided. It's not like the insurance company only has to do X, Y, and Z and then pay the claim. The policyholder also has to comply with the very specific conditions in their policy to enable the insurance company to properly pay the claim.
I think that speaks to Gary's point.
Isn't a policy the contract?
The policy is the contract.
Right. And, I'm not adept at reading contracts. That's why I would hire an attorney as
well. You're not adept to many things.
This is true. You'd be talking to my wife.
Not many people are adept at reading insurance policies. There's literally volumes of books just to interpret what insurance policies mean.
Because it's a contract.
And it's an extraordinarily complicated contract. But I think, at least from my standpoint, what people need to understand about insurance is that it's not a service contract. It's not like you're going to call your insurance and they're going to fix your problems. What they're there for is to reimburse you after you fix your problems. Now, that's not always possible, and obviously people in real life have to wait, but the whole concept of it, maybe it's an outdated concept, who knows, is that you use your savings to fix your roof or whatever else, and then the insurance company gives you your money back. You know, in medical insurance, it used to be like that as well. I remember when I was a kid, you know, mom would send in the check and get a check back from Blue Cross. Now it's HMOs where they're actually paying for your care, so you know, all of this seems to be remedial measures to fix what may be an outdated concept in the age of no savings, right? Maybe we need to go to an HMO-type insurance system to fix this.
For property damage?
Well, why not? We did it for health insurance. And what do you think?
I don't know that I agree with your assessment of the policy. To me, an insurance policy for property damage is a risk policy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, most policies are called an all-risk policy or a named peril policy. So depending on what you're purchasing, you should get the benefit of that risk. You're purchasing an insurance policy so that if something happens, you know that your out-of-pocket expense is your deductible. And then outside of that, the insurance company should come in and pay for the claim. Now, there is technicalities to it. The carrier only has to pay what's called an actual cash value until you actually do the repairs. And then they pay what's called the depreciation. And that's the difference in number between the actual cash value and the replacement cost value. But between that time, if you have a catastrophic event with a hurricane and you lose your entire house, you certainly, the average homeowner doesn't have $300,000, $500,000 sitting around to replace home to wait to get reimbursed.
But don't insurance policies, for example, have parts of them that like put you up in a hotel or whatever while you're waiting for it all to cycle through?
Well, that is a separate section of your insurance policy, and they do. But that's something that you have to incur in order to get back. So that's a different scenario.
Gotcha.
And then you still don't know. The insurance companies delay the claims. So if you're staying in a hotel and you exhaust all of your additional living expenses, then what do? Now you don't have the funds to replace your home or repair your home or your property. And you're out of your amounts available for additional living.
And those are issues that come up. So, you know, the point I'm making is that the insurance companies, assuming that's who backed this new legislation we're talking about, can't have it both ways. If they're going to be the person who is just doing reimbursement, then the policies and procedures need to be written around that. If they're going to be the ones that are stepping in, like you're talking about, to fix the problem as it's occurring, then you can't have this additional delay, because that's the people are counting on them to step in and give them the housing, replace the roof, not have them come up. So, you know, this is very concerning what you're talking about, because, you know, it's creating a situation where it's the worst of both worlds for consumers, no?
Or the appraisal clause could be a plus for consumers because it once you go to an appraisal, the amount of damages is set, and they have to pay that claim.
So, boom, that shortens it.
That could shorten it potentially.
Gotcha.
It's just a matter of you're putting all of your eggs in one basket with whoever that appraiser is at that time.
Ah.
So if that person comes in and they're very conservative in their numbers, or they don't understand the matching statute, or they're not, you know, looking at it as fully as they should, you can get gypped in your money as a policyholder, or you can be compensated. We'll see how it comes out. I don't know
who picks the umpire. Who picks the appraiser?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
So
I try.
Each party gets a choice, and usually it goes to a judge to make a determination.
Oh, okay. So it's already in litigation as
no,
this is occurring?
No, it's before it's in litigation, but you can hire an attorney just to get your umpire appointed if the parties can't agree to an umpire.
Now, Linda, if I don't have a separate flood policy, and my home insurance company, now they're telling me that all the hurricane damage to my home is excluded, not covered. Are they right? Should I just listen to them and go away?
My guess is that if you have an insurance policy that is in full force and effect on the date of the hurricane, most of your damages, if not all, are going to be covered. It really depends on the terms of the policy, but the policies in general for hurricane loss have a large deductible, and all of the occurring damages are covered. It would be very hard for a policy to exclude hurricane. That would have to be a very specific exclusion.
Well, up north, when they had tornadoes, very rare event here in South Florida, towards the panhandle, insurance companies were denying claims because it said in the policy that no unnamed storm will be covered. But because there's such uproar, and if you will, bad faith for that, they acquiesced and they did agree to cover it as well. So I found that interesting. No unnamed storms will be covered, will not be covered.
Well, would a tornado be considered an unnamed storm?
Yes, because you don't name tornadoes.
Right, but a tornado would be winds and a wind force.
Right, right. Well, again, that was a way for them to get out from under. Again, insurance companies, we need them. They're great when they actually work and so forth. But let's face it, they are in a business to make money. And they have $100 billion. If they're going to spend $15 billion of that, they're going to lose interest on their money, so they delay it. That's my personal opinion. You know, not all insurance companies do that, but they have a right to protect themselves. As you know, we recently had a situation in Miami. 35 people were arrested for insurance fraud for homeowners' property.
Yes.
That's a good day in Miami.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a sad day for...
Yeah, no,
first party property.
Right? Just 35
first party property
is good,
lawyers.
Right?
Because it definitely puts some egg on our face, right?
When let's briefly walk down the process. We just now had a hurricane, okay?
It just rained, Phil. It's not an actual hurricane.
But in all seriousness, we had damage. And I make a claim. Now, is it too soon for me to pick up the phone and say, hey, Linda, I want to be sure I'm protected? I mean, is it prudent for somebody to contact you if they have damage and they made a claim and they're still waiting to hear the outcome?
It's up to the person themselves. If they're interested in having somebody protect them from day one, they're welcome to call me, and I will be happy to assess the value of the claim at that time. If they want to wait until they get, you know, their first payment, I would call it an underpayment generally.
Right.
That's not always what happens. Sometimes the insurance pays the full amount and you're done. Or if they get a denial, then I get a phone call immediately.
But they have claims adjusters, and they're experts at turning down claims or lowering them. But you have in your arsenal public claims adjusters as well that you work with.
That's correct.
What actually is a public claims adjuster?
A public adjuster is a person who works on behalf of the policyholder. So a public adjuster is just like a field adjuster for the insurance company. The public adjuster comes out and assesses the loss on behalf of the policyholder.
And who pays for that adjuster?
That adjuster is paid for directly by the client, by the homeowner, in a contingency fee contract. That has nothing to do with me. It's directly between the public adjuster and the policyholder. Although I do work hand in hand with public adjusters on many claims.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But again, that contingency means, and I think our audience is educated enough to know, that if there's no money that's able to be recovered, there's no cost to the client.
It's a win-win situation
Absolutely.
Every situation.
Absolutely.
There's no gamble.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you quickly about the hurricane situation. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that hurricanes affect the whole town or the whole community. So you have a certain window, that 90-day period. I can't imagine the insurance company being able to get up to speed and issue and resolve everybody's claim within 90 days. So there must be an extension for situations like that versus my house that just had an incident, like through a fire or something. I could see that. They have plenty of time. They have 90 days because it's just that one claim at that one time.
Well, that is a good point. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, and I'm quoting here, 838,000 number of claims from Hurricane Irma for almost 2 years ago. That is a lot of claims to go through.
It is a lot of claims. And what the insurance companies do is they hire outside people to come in and do the adjusting of the loss. And so they have the benefit of having the funds to be able to do that. So they're hiring independent people to come in and adjust the losses. So they really do try to stick with the 90-day time frame. And then there's also conditions that have to be met on both sides. So the insurance companies will ask the homeowners or property owners what certain things that they need before they can accurately assess the loss, which will bring the 90 days forward. Or the governor can come in and give them some excess time, depending on how catastrophic the storm is.
Right.
So there's always, you know, nothing is set in black and white. Nothing is that straightforward.
You know, when we were speaking prior to the program, and I asked you, why did you choose this area of law? I mean, you could certainly do anything. I mean, you're well known as a litigator.
I'm passionate about this area of law. This is my, I'm all in 100%. I always have been. I am very interested in helping the underdog. And when I know somebody has a valid claim, and I look at every claim before I take it on, I don't take on just any claim. I look at the claim, and as long as I can see that the damages occurred and that it was within a time period of a policy that was in full force and effect, I take the claim and I become passionate about it because if the insurance company is not doing what they should do or what it says they're supposed to do in this policy, then I have every right to represent my client and advocate on behalf of the policyholder. And with a positive win, the insurance company pays my fees. So it's a win-win scenario.
That is.
There's no reason not to hire me.
But you're helping the families at the worst part of their lives.
Yes. Yes.
That I get.
A property is the biggest investment that you make. And it's very personal to you. And the insurance companies are a big foundation, and they're an entity. There's a big difference between an insurance company and a person. Mm-hmm. And I'm representing a person who has a catastrophic loss or doesn't have a kitchen or doesn't have a roof or doesn't have a commercial property to run their business. So every day when it rains, I'm thinking about all my clients who don't have roofs or have water damage coming in through windows or cracks in their stucco.
A true David versus Goliath kind of situation.
Yes.
Really good for you.
Well, there's no end in sight of clients, that's for sure, with this amount of claims. And again, I want to be clear to our audience, you focus your practice on property damage, correct?
Yes. Strictly property damage.
Strictly property damage. And again, don't take no for an answer from your insurance companies.
Well, Linda, I have a question. We only have a few minutes left, so we'll have to keep it brief. But what would be something that would our listeners wouldn't know that would tend to surprise them that pops out to you that people just don't know? And if they did, they'd be a lot better off.
No one really knows, or very minority of people know, that when you get a payment from your insurance company with a letter that says, we're paying X amount of dollars, and we're not paying the rest because you have these exclusions in your policy, that's not always true. That just because your insurance company says something, that doesn't mean you are not able to go in for supplemental amount against your own.
So you can cash that check?
Well, it depends on if the language on the check says full and final settlement.
So if
that's
you get
why you
that
should
check,
call me.
You call you
Absolutely.
To see if it's all over.
And speaking about calling you, because we're now winding down the program, what is the best way? Yeah, I know. This is good stuff.
Jeez, Phil.
What is the best way?
There's a lot of information on
there. I know. A lot more.
A lot of information that you don't even know you don't know.
There you go. But you don't know when you're going to need it.
That's correct.
Now, the question is, what's the best way to contact you? How can they find you?
The best way you can find me is with my name, Linda Knorr, Knoerr. Or you can call me at 954-749-3151. 954-749-3151. 3151.
Do you got one of those newfangled interweb thingamabobbies?
A website?
Yeah, you have
I do have a website.
How would they find that?
That is claimhelplawyers.com.
Oh, I like that.
Claimhelplawyers.com.
Oh, that's simple.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not going to give it over there, but I got your business card. I'm looking. It's very nice, and it's got your cell phone number on
yes,
it.
Yes,
that says
does.
A lot about you. I wouldn't do that.
I represent
says
people
you're a nicer
well, that's
person
that's
than me.
That says a lot
all
about you.
Time.
Yeah, but I'm a jerk, and everyone knows
you're
that.
You're a dirt
Linda,
attorney.
I appreciate you being on. It's
thank
very
you
good
for
and,
for having
and
me.
Important coming into hurricane season, important knowledge for our listeners, so thank you very much. Eric, did he call you by the right name today? I missed
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
He didn't say Yankowick
no.
or something. All right, Phil, way to go.
Right. Great. Made my father proud.
That is. That's great.
And it's, your mother who listens.
And yeah, so that's good. Yeah. So I probably shouldn't have brought it up. On that note, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank our listeners. Be safe and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.